is United States against Old Fella. Mr. Hunt.
Good morning, Your Honor. I represent Hipólito Alcalá, man with an eighth grade education, Spanish speaking, enters a plea after the state has rested before the Honorable Judge Randa, a good judge, a judge I respect. The problem here is Rule 11 was not scrupulously honored.
And did you ever make this argument in the district court?
Yes, Judge, I did.
Where?
And I can lay out the background on that.
Where?
In my reply to the government's response to the defendant's motion to withdraw the plea.
That's rather late. Why isn't it in the motion for leave to withdraw the plea?
Because honestly, Judge, I didn't have the transcript of the plea hearing at that time. Judge, to continue, what's interesting here is if there ever was a case in which a defendant had a swift change...
Just stand right in front of the podium, please,
sorry.
While you will be properly recorded.
Right. Had a swift change of heart, it is this case. Approximately 6 days, possibly 7 days, by if you count the filing date, the defendant here wrote a letter to the trial court indicating his intention, his desire to withdraw the plea.
The plea was two days into the trial, right?
The plea was 2 days into the trial.
And he's not seeing the writing on the wall, and then...
Well, I suppose you could look at it that way, Judge. Another way to look at it is maybe it was done in haste and confusion, which returns to my other concerns about Rule 11. Rule 11 has a number of considerations, including discussion of the sentencing guidelines, discussion of valuable rights such as the right not to testify, so on and so forth, that are set forth in detail. And it's an interesting rule because it's a rule that uses that verb, address the defendant. The court has to address the defendant. In preparing for this hearing, I reviewed again the cases I'd cited. And I think, really, the Grohl case is very interesting because the Grohl case...
says that if there was any problem under Rule 11, it's harmless because the same advice is in the written plea agreement. Do you have a response to that?
Yes, Judge. If we just rely on the plea agreement and don't have a court address those important rights, then plea hearings are really a nullity. They could end with, by the way, did you review this 15-page or 12-page document called the plea agreement with your attorney?
I understand you may not like the harmless error rule, but the question I asked is based on the Supreme Court's holding in Vaughn that if the plea agreement contains the missing advice, then the plea is valid. Now, I notice that your brief doesn't discuss Vaughn. Your reply brief doesn't discuss Vaughn, but your argument is difficult to reconcile with the Supreme Court's holding in Vaughn.
Well, Judge, I don't think Vaughn dealt with somebody who had a language barrier.
Mr. Hunt, was there an interpreter for the trial?
There was. There was.
Was the interpreter also available for the plea?
Judge, I wasn't there. I'm going to assume that the interpreter was there for the plea. But now I'm going to cite to a case, United States versus Pollock, which is more recent. In that case, the court had concerns about just yes or no answers. And Grohl had concerns about yes or no answers as well. And, Judge, if I can segue, as advice to courts, to defense counsel, to prosecutors, it was suggested in that case, read the United States District Court bench book. Now, this court is aware of that. I'm now aware of it. I reviewed it. And it has extensive questions, but here's what's important. It says that when you're dealing with somebody who's not a Native American speaker, it's different. You have to be more cautious. And that's because of cultural differences, that in, let's say, a given culture, they may not understand this concept of not having to testify, that it's an absolute right and that it can't be used against you.
I have a practical question.
Sure.
You want to withdraw the plea.
Right.
Now, I understand he's served his time, right?
It would appear so.
So what happens if the plea is withdrawn? Do they erase all that and try the case over and maybe get another sentence?
Well, Judge, the easiest answer I can give to that is I think it was St. Teresa that said okay. There are more tears shed in heaven over answered prayers than unanswered ones.
Yeah.
This defendant is completely aware he starts back facing 10 years to life. He was facing 0 to 4. But I think that that's an indication of his insistence on exercising his right to trial.
He just wants to clean his record that he doesn't have a felony or something?
Judge, I can't...
In hopes and when he's retried,
That's just
a practical question. I realize that, but it doesn't seem very practical to me.
Right. Now, the elephant in the room is this waiver. Once again...
No, it's not even... The waiver isn't even relevant. This court's doctrine is perfectly clear, I thought, and I'm stunned by the Assistant U.S. Attorney's brief in this case. Our decisions are perfectly clear that the waiver stands or falls with the plea. You can always argue that the plea is invalid, and then any terms and conditions in the plea agreement go. You can't argue anything else, but you can always argue the plea is invalid. Now, the argument here is the plea is invalid, so the waiver is irrelevant. And as Judge Mannion said, you should be careful what you wish for. You may get it. Right, you set aside this plea, the sentence is going to go way up. But the waiver doesn't have anything to do with any of it.
All right, well, then I won't address that, unless the other justices want to ask me questions about the waiver.
Judges.
Other judges. And I'll sit down.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hunt. Mr. Gonzalez.
Thank you. My name is Mario Gonzalez. I'm the Assistant United States Attorney. I was both the trial counsel as well as appellate counsel in this case. First, I'd like to address a couple of the questions that the court inquired of with Mr. Hunt. There was an interpreter throughout the entire trial, including the change of plea in this case. As far as what would happen if this case was returned, I think it was addressed at least in one of the Mr. Alcala has been deported from the United States. He was a citizen of the Dominican Republic.
He's been what?
He's been deported from the United States. Oh. That was pursuant to the plea agreement that upon the completion he would be summarily deported by the Homeland Security Agency. In regards to why he may have wanted to have this case cleared from his record, as indicated in the pre-sentence report, he does have one prior felony drug trafficking conviction, so I don't think it would be to address to clean his prior record. The government would argue that in this case, the district court properly denied Mr. Alcala's motion to withdraw the guilty plea based upon the court's review of both the trial testimony, the trial proceedings where the defendant was present. He understood the rights that he was waiving or giving up by entering a plea. He had participated in the trial up until the point of the case almost going to jury. We were in the process of working on jury instructions when he decided to avail himself to a previously offered plea agreement.
That was before trial,
yes, Your Honor. And basically,
he didn't get any, whatever you want to call it, acceptance of responsibility for that, right? He got a great deal out of this.
He did get a great deal, and that was taken into consideration of the fact that he was going to be deported, or it was the wish that he would be deported back to the Dominican Republic following his conviction. The government believes that the court made a thorough colloquy with the defendant in regards to the plea, went through the rights that he was giving up, as well as the penalties that he faced, the charge for which he waived in open court via the information, acknowledging that he, in fact, was guilty of this offense. And based upon the court's thorough examination of the totality of the circumstances of the plea agreement, the government believes that this court should affirm the district court's finding denying Mr. Alcala the motion to withdraw the guilty plea, and would ask that his conviction be affirmed. If there are any further questions, the government will rest on its brief. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Hunt? Not much to reply to.
No, I would just ask the court, if I neglected to do so in my initial submission, to vacate the plea and the conviction here and return this to the district court in Wisconsin. For
your client know that if he prevails, he's likely to end up spending another 7 years in prison or so?
But if he wins a jury...
Does he know that, is my question.
Yes, he does, Judge.
Okay. Now, yes. And where is he now?
Judge,
he's somewhere other than in the United States, maybe? Or maybe not?
I can't. I'm worried about violating our Supreme Court rules about...
Yeah, okay. So maybe he was deported and came back. We don't know that either, do we?
Judge,
don't know. We don't know.
Well, Judge, I know his
and if you know,
address.
It doesn't matter.
I know his address, but I'm just apprehensive about violating client confidentiality.
All right.
But,
mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Hunt, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case.
No problem.
The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.